Hey, all right. Well, Ephesians chapter number 6. Let me get wired up here. Ephesians chapter number 6. Sunday school is different because I was taught in our preacher's class, that's time to teach and not to preach. So I'm going to probably move this time mic up just a tad. And Ephesians chapter number 6. I knew I was going to be talking to the men. We talked yesterday about Eli and the father and the impact that he had on his children. And it wasn't a good impact that he had on his children. And so this morning, and I know that some of you have already raised your children, and I know the first thing you'll say, well, that this doesn't apply to me. But listen, if you're in part of a church this morning, those little fellas that went out are your spiritual children, amen, your family. And that's what Paul was saying here in Ephesians chapter 6. This is what the Bible says. Look at verse number 1. It gives instructions to the children. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, we have children in here. Really, everybody's a child of somebody.
Amen.
And God doesn't set an age on obeying your parents. I still obey my parents. If my mom, and I still try to respect my mother, and I still try to respect my daddy. Verse number 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And let me say something about that. We expect our children to honor us because it's a biblical principle.
Man.
I heard a preacher say this one time, if we want our children to honor us, let's give them something to honor.
Man.
And boy, if our example is that we're not going to live right, it's hard for them to honor us. But, you know, if they're trying to do what God tells them to do. Verse number 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. I've said this for a while. The reason we're bearing a lot of children is because they don't honor their father and mother.
Right.
And I think that's the principle God puts in His Bible about that was the first commandment with promise about honoring your father and your mother. I get this. Is your name Cody or Dylan? Good night, son. I can remember Zane. I don't know why. Amen. Maybe because he talks so much. Maybe that's why I can remember Zane. But Cody and Zane and Corey and Connor and Hudson, I guess, left. He's in the Sunday school hour. Hey, listen, the Bible tells us to honor our parents.
Man.
And they're going to make decisions that you don't like. And you're at an age now. I was talking to a lady the other day about young men. Young men don't like to take orders from women. Can I get an amen there, men?
Amen.
That's just the point. God put something in us that unless you're just one of these guys right here, you don't like to take orders from women.
Amen.
But God tells you to honor your mom and dad,
amen,
and you need to do that. But I'm going to get down and start talking. Look at verse number 4. And so it starts off dealing with the children in this passage. And it says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture in the admonition of the Lord. And then it goes on and it deals with servants and it deals with how a servant should be obedient. It never mentions in these first passages about the wife. So it's really just God's dealing with the children and the fathers here.
Amen.
And then look what it says, and then it gets into the servants and how servants are to react and how the masters are to treat their servants. But I want you to know, he gets down to verse number 10 after he's dealt with how you treat each other. How we're to treat each other. Then it gets into, and it says, finally, I mean, he's wrapping this chapter up, and he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might.
Amen.
Then it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I'm going to tell you, this whole week I've been preaching about the home and the relationship in the home and how we're to have an influence and how we're to teach another generation about God and how to have a family revival. And God's now bringing this thing to an end. And this chapter, He's dealt with the children. He's dealt with the fathers. He's dealt with the servants. He's dealt with the masters. Now He says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And then He tells us to put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
And when God says put on the whole armor of God, what He means is put on the whole armor of God. Now, why are you going to have to do that? Because you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know what he's telling us as a church, as a family? The devil is coming after you.
Right.
And the only way you're going to make it is putting on the whole armor of God. And listen, it's not multiple choice. It's not saying, well, you know, I'll just take up the sword of the Spirit. Amen. I just got that. I know my Bible. Well, praise God. But God wants you to have the shield of faith.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, if Christians, I tell you where Christians are missing the boat, it's called that shield of faith.
Amen.
You got to have faith. Christianity is based on faith. How do you know that? If I came in here with a story and said I was going, God called me to preach, and I decided I was going to get on a boat, and I was going to run the other way, and while I was running the other way, I got thrown in the sea, and a whale swallowed me, and a whale spit me up 3 days later, both of you said, what is that nut doing in our pulpit? But that's what happened to Jonah.
Right.
By faith. By faith, only we can believe that three Hebrew boys walked in a fiery furnace and they didn't come out burnt.
Amen.
Only by faith. So God said, take on the whole armor of God. Why? Because you're going to have to face the devil.
Right.
If you're going to do this right here, fathers and young men, you will have to face the devil.
Right.
Why, Brother Johnny? God don't want you to honor your kids honoring. I mean, the devil don't want your kids honoring you.
That's right.
They don't want them respecting their mother. When it talks about servants, now we don't have servants, but I believe this is on the job. When you're working for somebody, and you need to have a Christian attitude. And sometimes it's hard, let's just be honest, man, it's hard to have a Christian attitude when they're dog cussing you. You want to backslide and cuss them back. I know, amen, I've been there. I'm still in flesh, by the way. And if you don't never thought that, well, I need to get with you. Maybe you need to write a new Bible. Amen. Because you've been helping God. Because I get in the flesh sometimes. So God said, put on the whole armor of God. Why? You're going to have to face the devil. And then look what verse 12 says. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know what he's saying there? He's not your enemy. Brother Scott's not your enemy. Your daddy's not your enemy. Who is your enemy? He says you better know your enemy. You better know who he is. And it lists more than one enemy here. It lists the wiles of the devil. But watch what it says. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's other things other than the devil. Principalities. Against powers. Against rulers of darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Amen.
There's not just people say, well, I'm fighting the devil. You're fighting more than the devil.
Right.
According to this, you're fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. You're fighting powers. You're fighting principalities. And you're going to tell me you're going to do that without the help of God? I've heard these people before, and I'm just telling you, you do what you want to with it. Well, I've got the devil under control. Well, I'm telling you something. The devil ain't some little red man walking around with a pitchfork poking people. That's not the devil. My Bible describes the devil as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. What we've done in the church age is we think that the devil's been declawed.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the devil ain't been declawed.
Amen.
And Jesus himself faced the devil with the Word of God. And the devil don't bother me. Well, then there's something wrong with you.
That's right.
If the devil ain't bothering you, man, if the devil's not bothering you, he's pretty much got you. I'm telling you, I told Brother Andrew, I think it was Thursday or maybe Friday. I can't remember what day it was this week. I said, I'm telling you, I am fighting the devil this week. And the thoughts of when I was a young man and not even born again, how the devil is bringing drugging all this stuff. What is that? That's a spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
You know what the devil wants me to do? You don't need to go up there and preach. Don't worry about studying because you ain't worthy to, and ain't nobody worthy to open this book and preach. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I fought the devil. And I tell you, I like what one old preacher said. When the devil knocks at his door, he lets Jesus answer the door. Amen. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Hey, Jesus, how about you handling that for me? Because I can't do it. Let's move on, for we wrestle not. Verse number 12. Wherefore, take unto you the whole. This is the second time he said the word whole. The whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. He's saying, hold, and there's another phrase he's using, stand.
Amen.
Fellas, we got to stand.
Amen.
There's things we're going to have to stand up in our home and say, it ain't happening in my home.
Amen.
There's things that I know we got grandparents here and you've raised your children. But I'm going to tell you, those little children don't need to come over your house and do wicked things either. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't have grandkids yet. Now, used to, I was a youth pastor, Brother Scott, and had no kids. I mean, didn't have no teenagers. I was 9 years youth pastor and I used to hear this. Wait till your kids become teenagers. Wait, you know, he gets probably the same thing. Wait till your kids get grown. I'm going to tell you something. We have the authority of the Word of God to stand on.
Amen.
And what God tells us to do. And yes, I've had to face some things that I didn't think I'd ever have to face. But my boys can tell you right now that I've tried to live a right life in front of them. And I've not tried to be a hypocrite. I didn't would be one thing in the pulpit and one thing out of the pulpit.
Amen.
I don't know if Brother Josh remembers this. He may or may not, but when Titanic first come out, that movie, that remake of Titanic, I was just all over that. I said, man, and because we had, this got a nude scene in it. And some of our kids had seen it. And I said, boy, it'd be a cold day and down there, amen, before I watch it. You know what I did? I watched it. And I went back, and I don't know if Josh remembers this. I don't even know if he was there that Sunday, because he did used to have to go to his dad's one Sunday. I stood up and I apologized to my youth group for being a hypocrite. Why? The devil, I let the devil in. I gave the devil. But let's go on. Are you still with me? It says verse 14. Verse 13's got the word stand in it. Verse 11's got the word stand in it. Verse 14, stand therefore. There's that word stand. Having your loins girt about with the truth, and the breastplate of righteousness, that breastplate of righteousness, guarding your heart. Men, we got to guard our hearts.
Amen.
I've got to get on. You know, every time I say I don't have enough, then I look at my notes and say, wow, I do have enough. It says, guarding your heart, the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's not one man in here that's saved that shouldn't be prepared to leave one soul to the Lord.
Amen.
You should be prepared. You say, well, preacher, I don't know the Bible like some people do. God didn't ask you to know the Bible. You know what God wants you to do? God wants you to tell them what happened to you.
Amen.
I relayed this story before. I know Brother Andrew's heard it. But when I was a chaplain at the Chartwell Detention Center for Girls, I was dealing with a young lady one day, and she come to the altar. And she got on this side of the altar, and I said, why are you down here? She said, I want to be saved. Now, that's a great thing to do with her. I said, well, praise the Lord. She said, but I can't. I said, well, tell me why you can't. And she said, well, I'm a witch. And I've been told that I can't be saved because I blasphemed the Holy Ghost, and I can't be saved. And I took her over to 1 John chapter 1. Now I'm going to read you what 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says. I can quote it, but I'm going to read it. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. I always use this verse when people say they can't be saved. It's still in the Bible, ain't it? I mean, what page is it? Here we go. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. This is what it says. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us, and there's a little word in there, all, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I asked that little girl, I said, what does the word all mean? And she said, well, that means everything. I said, what if God said He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness, I believe you can get saved. And you know what that young lady did? She bowed her head and she got saved. You said, well, that's still house religion. Maybe it was. But I can tell you that it wasn't, because the next week she's in chapel. And I went up to her and I said, and I always like to pick on kids. That's just my ministry. And I said, Brother Johnny, I said, hey, are you still saved? And she said, yes, preacher, but I think I've done something wrong. I said, what? You know, with them girls, they'll get in fights, they'll cuss the staff out. It ain't telling what they done. And she said, I think I've done something wrong. I said, what have you done? And she starts, and she's got three ladies next to her, Brother Scott. And she's got a lady here and a lady there. And she said, these are my cellmates. I said, okay. And she said, I think I've done something wrong. And what really struck me about this young lady is the day that she got saved, she asked for a Bible. I didn't have a Bible. I told her I'd bring her a Bible next week. And she said, I led these three girls to the Lord. Was that okay? I don't know if I've done it right. And I looked at those three ladies. I said, did y'all get saved? Yes, sir. I said, well, tell me how you led these people to the Lord. You didn't have a Bible. You know what she said? I just told them what happened to me.
Amen. Amen.
One witch has led more people to the Lord than most Baptists have led people to the Lord.
Amen.
So what does it say? Be ready, be prepared, men. You should be able to lead a co-worker to the Lord in a moment and say, I don't know much. Just tell them what happened to you.
Right,
hey, if you'll live your right life right, you won't have to go into a lot of scripture.
Right.
Them say, man, I know something happened to you. What happened to you? Well, let me tell you about the day I met with God.
Amen.
And this is what I done. I just confessed my sins, basically, and I called on the Lord, and He saved me. You know what you done? In a roundabout way, you just told them Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart, God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, I highly recommend you get a few scriptures and learn them. Amen. But until you do, be prepared. All right. So, verse 16, above all. Now, he's telling you put on have the breastplate, have your loins girded with the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and then your feet shod with the, but he said, above all. He said, take the shield of faith.
Amen.
Above all. Have that shield of faith. Why? Because it's going to take faith. It's going to take faith to live right when you see no results. Are you listening to me? When you're talking to your boys or your daughters or your grandkids and they're out in the world and they're wicked and they're ungodly, it's going to take above all faith to believe that your prayers are going to get answered. I'm telling you, that's where my grandmother succeeded in Christianity. It wasn't that she knew her Bible from cover to cover. She was a woman of faith. She just believed if God said He would do it, He would do it. Well, what could God do with a group of men like this to say, we just believe God and God can do it? What would God do with some young men in our public schools if they believe God said it and He'll do it? I'm telling you, we'd see revival in our public schools, just over one or two young men wanting to serve God and having a little faith that God could do it.
Amen.
So he says, above all. And then he gets down and says, above all, take the shield of faith. And then he says this, and verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Why do you need that on your head? Because I tell you where the devil messes with you most of the times, your head.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Boy, you might, hey, let's just be, can we be honest today? Would it be alright? You don't live godly 24/7, and neither does that man, and neither do I. Paul said that he had to die daily.
Right.
And when Paul, the greatest Christian outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, said the things that I should do or the things that I do not, you know what Paul was saying? He's struggling with the flesh.
Right.
And Paul wrote half the New Testament, and if Paul struggled with the flesh, guess what? Men, we're going to struggle with the flesh.
Damn.
And you know what it is? The devil loves mind games.
That's right.
You got to put on that helmet, fellas. You got to put it on. Says, put on the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit. Why is that important? Because when the devil tempted God, he used Scripture. And when the devil comes after you, you better have some Scripture. I tell the ladies, we'll be at Teen Challenge tonight. I meant to ask prayer for that. We'll be at Teen Challenge tonight. And Brother Andrew's been there one time, and he can tell you the battles, some of these ladies. One of the battles a lady was dealing with, I specifically got Andrew to pray with her, because he's got a message about tearing down the strongholds in your life, and it's talking about imaginations. And she was just going through all this stuff. The devil was getting her in her mind.
Right.
So he's dealing with us, and he's telling us, by the way, I didn't see moms in here. He dealt with children. Moms important, don't get me wrong. Thank God for moms.
Yeah,
Well, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a mom. Amen. Thank God for moms. Amen. But look what it says. It says, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now I want to give you three quick things, and we'll be through real quick. And this is directly to the men and the future. This is directed to our husbands, and this is going to be directed to our future husbands. Three things. If you can remember these three things, I'm going to tell you, you'll have a successful family. Now, all that stuff, God said, let's put that armor on. But this is what I want you to look at. Number one, look back at verse number 4. And ye, talking to fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Number one, provoke not your children. And what does that mean? You can't live one way at the house and one way here. Because I'm going to tell you, Zane and Cody, right? Know everything about that man. Yeah. Connor and Corey knows everything about me. And Miss Lauren and Brandon, I get that right? And Hudson knows everything about that man. And back there in the back, Mr. Sick, amen, his two boys know everything about him. Now, the only reason I'm using them is because I'm trying to get to know the rest of y'all. Amen? Some of you have, your children are gone, but I'm going to tell you something. Their kids are not going to serve God as long as you provoke them.
That's right.
And I mean by provoking them, you can't be a hypocrite. They know it. I'm just going to tell you, when I got saved, there wasn't no question in my home. Ask them if we've ever got up and said, Daddy, you think we're going to go to church Sunday morning? They've never got up, Brother Scott, since I've been saved. And he was six, we got in church when he was 6 months old. He was 2 years old when I got saved. Brother Johnny, not one time have they got up, unless it was like a snow 25 inches, what we don't ever get here. But they've never said, well, Daddy, we're going to go to church. No, we're going to church. Why? I can't live one way in the pulpit and live one way at the house. And I'm going to tell you something, fathers. You want to get your children hating God, you live one way at the house, and you live one way at the church. You love this preacher at the church, but you talk away on the way all the way home, and you go wonder why they don't want to come to church? I'll tell you why. You're provoking them to wrath.
Right.
This man, no, you say, well, it's built up, Brother Andrew. I don't care who it was sitting here. If God's put this man here, and you believe he's the man of God, I'm telling you, God's going to give him some things that might ruffle your feathers. My pastor still ruffles my feathers. I've been there 20 years.
Amen.
And I've been the Lord's blessed me in my ministry, but I still submit under my pastor. Amen. And they got quiet there, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to run home as we're going home. If the preacher hits my, calls my number out, I'm not going to run down him in the car.
Amen.
I'll tell you, the worst kind of kids, and I walk down, you see these kids right here? These are preacher kids. They're PKs is what they call them, preacher kids. You know how many preacher kids hate God? A bunch of them. How many of y'all, and just, I want you to raise your hand, how many of y'all have heard horror stories about preacher kids and have witnessed preacher kids being the most wicked people in the church? Raise your hand. You know why? There's one standard in the pulpit and there's one standard at the house. And I'm telling you, these children right here, then they're still children because they're still in my house. When they start making all the payments, we'll call them a man. Amen. Amen, fellas. Amen. When they start making all the payments, we'll call them a man. Hey, getting hair on your chest don't make you a man. Amen. Now, he's pretty hairy, so he might be a good man one day, but right now I'm still paying the house payment. Let me say this. These young men right here, that don't make them a man. And when I say one thing in the pulpit and I do another in the house, I will provoke them to anger and they'll hate God.
That's right.
I'm telling you.
Amen.
Me, Brother Andrew, and Brother Josh know a man right now that don't have his house under control. And I'm talking about I know a lot of preachers that way. And listen, you think these boys are angels? You're crazy. I'm sorry. I'll preach it. And I have. You ask Connor. One time I was at the juvenile detention center, Brother Scott. I preached the devil out of him. At camp, I preached the devil out of him. He was there. I called him out. Why? I want them to love God. I'm not going to provoke them to anger. But don't hold them to a higher standard than you hold your own kids. Little Elijah, dear God, he is crazy. But he shouldn't be held to a different standard than your kids in the church. I mean, but I told my kids, whether you like it or not, you got held to a higher standard.
That's right.
Whether you like it or not, Kelsey's always on that. Well, why do I got to dress this way? And why can't I go there? Because whether you like it or not, you're held to a higher standard.
Amen.
Provoke not your children. Number two. Now, Colossians 3:21 says this, and I'll go to number two. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, least they be discouraged.
Right.
How many kids are discouraged in churches today?
Yeah.
They come to church like this. They're not involved in church. They won't be in church. Why? Because we provoked them to anger. Amen. Number two, not only should we provoke not your children to anger. Now, I don't think we have a problem with this because Brother Charlie, Brother Andrew said, y'all got some good hard-working men. Provide for your children.
Amen.
Provide for your children. 1 Timothy 5:8. I will read this. But if any man provide not for his home, and especially for those of his own house, he deny the faith.
Amen.
And watch this. And is worse than an infidel. That's God speaking in 1 Timothy. And the books of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are books mainly to the preacher. And he's given an instruction. He said, if you got a man that won't provide for his family, he has denied the very faith.
Right.
And he's worse than an infidel.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I have no... And you say, well, you're a preacher. You don't do no work. Come with me. See how much work I've been doing this whole summer.
Amen.
I have about killed my health. And you said, no, it's what you're eating. I'm telling you right now, I have stressed. You do not know the burden a pastor and a preacher carries. Brother Josh pastored for a while. He can tell you that, and he can tell you that. And I've seen my pastor. My pastor today, he's 71 years, and that load is just about to kill him. And I'm going to tell you something. I would go to work, and they've seen me go to work. I'm full-time in the ministry. Y'all help support our ministry. But there'll be a cold day in hell before I sit on my backside and let my children have to go out and work for me. And send my wife out there so I won't say, well, I'm in the ministry. Well, you know what? God called me to preach, but He also showed me how to work with my hands.
Amen.
And when I have to go work, I go work. And anybody that knows me knows I work. Matter of fact, my wife got on to me because I've been burning the candle right before the summer started. I'm burning the candle. I'm cleaning churches. I'm cleaning houses. I'm driving cars. I'm preaching. Why are you doing that? God called me to provide for those boys.
Amen.
And my daughter. Now, both of them have, well, Corey don't have a job now, but Connor's got a job. And I don't really have to do that much to him, but I still provide him a nice, cool place to stay. Man, aren't you glad with that, Connor? Well, you wouldn't want to have to pay rent right now, would you? No. I can fix it where you can, though. All right, so number one, I'm not going to stay on that. I believe there's men in this church, we won't have to talk about working. They work. Y'all work. Thank God for that. But I'm going to tell you, you ever get a sorry sucker that won't work? I don't know what God would do with him. I don't know if he'd save a lazy man. What would he do with him? He ain't going to do nothing but suck all the air out of the church. Amen. Amen, Brother Josh. Amen. Amen, Corey. You better go get a job, son, this week. Amen. He said, that don't apply to me. I don't have no kids. But anyway, last one. Not only should we not provoke our children, we need to provide for our children. But I'll tell you the number one thing, we need to pray for our children. Pray for them. Hey, fathers. You're no less of a man to take your children to an altar and pray over them. My dad was a Marine, and my dad told me, he said, if you cry, son, it's a sign of weakness. He told me that. He said, never let your children see you cry. But I'm going to tell you, the day I met God,
Amen.
God turned something on in me. I think it's just the joy and the, and say, well, I'm not going to do it, preacher. I'm not going to do it, preacher. I'm going to tell you, there'll come a day you'll weep for your children. I'd just rather take them to an altar and cry on them, say, God, protect them. God, watch over them. And you think that I'm less of a man? Do whatever you want to think. But I'm going to tell you, I believe in praying for my boys. 2 weeks ago, I took my son. He's going through some hard times. Connor's going through some hard times. I said, son, can I take you to the altar and pray with you? I want that boy to know I love him. I go up to him and I say, hey, Connor, I'm proud of you. Hey, Corey, I'm proud of you. I told my daughter last night, I said, hey, Kelsey, I'm proud of you. I want these kids to know. I want my kids to know. Not only am I not going to try to provoke them, I'm going to try to provide for them. Bless God, I'm going to pray for them.
Amen.
Prayer is important. Brother Johnny, I know you're going through some things. I'm telling you here today, brother, I'm not picking on you. Don't give up. You know what God's doing with every tear you, He's collecting them in a bottle.
Amen.
I'm going to think one day, why is He collecting them? He's going to show them off one day. I don't know, the Bible don't say, but I'm going to tell you, it sure would be sad. I got up to heaven and He said, here's your bottle, empty. No tears for your children, no tears for the souls of men,
Amen.
No tears of joy. Boy, that would be pitiful.
Right.
See, because when you get to heaven, all that other stuff ain't going to matter.
Right.
Let me close with this. This is a poem, and Brother Josh, you might remember this little poem. It used to be in our bathroom, the men's bathroom. Amen. Well, I guess we took it down because we didn't want to be too feminine in our bathrooms. Amen. But this is what it says. Great poem. It's called Walk a Little Plainer, Daddy. It says, walk a little plainer, Daddy, said a little boy so frail. I'm following your footsteps and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain. Sometimes they are hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that once you walked this way many years ago, and what you did along the way, I really would like to know. For sometimes when I am tempted, I do not know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I'm grown up, you are like I want to be. Then I will have a little boy who will want to follow me, and I would want to lead him right. And help him to be true.
Amen.
So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for we must follow you.
Amen.
Right there, I tell you, every man that's got a child, you need to get a copy of that.
Amen.
You say, well, that's feminine. I'm telling you something. We got to have some daddies.
Amen.
They're going to start following God again.
Amen.
This week's revival, if the daddies could get right, you say, where's my wife? I'm telling you, if the daddies would get right, you'd be amazed at what your home would be.
Amen.
You'd be amazed. Because you know what your wife wants to do? Your wife just wants to follow you.
Right.
There's something inside. Well, you don't know my wife. I'm telling you, if you get right with God and you start leading her and you don't lead her off in the ditch, you'd be amazed
right.
at what God will do. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, why don't you try it?
Amen.
All right, let's pray and we'll turn it over to you, Pastor.